Blog Talk Radio.
History fact of the day is Louis Latimer, co-patent holder of the electric lamp and advisor to Thomas Edison, was born on this day in the year 1848. We have on the line with us a special guest and a dynamic show lined up for you. You know, here at the Gist of Freedom, we deal with history as well as contemporary issues. So a very contemporary issue, that being the Hurricane Irene. We have on the line with us a community activist, Ms. Smallwood. Mr. Smallwood, are you there with us?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Fantastic. How's everything going for you this fine Sunday?
Well, considering... We thank God for the blessing of being alive today and all that he does in our life every day. But things are here in Patterson are pretty tough. But, you know, we're making it, man. Community's putting together, and we're getting there. So I'm in a decent place, not a great place. And to all these people who are, you know, dislocated and out of their homes and have no power, and to all these things are back to normal, at least some form of normalcy, at that time I'll be in a better place. But I'm doing good, man. I feel blessed today.
Good. Let's just jump right into this. Give us a snapshot of what you see in Patterson, New Jersey on this day. So be our eyes and ears for us on what's happening in Patterson today.
Well, the community as a whole is still coming together, along with city officials and Red Cross and volunteers, you know, to just try to work with our residents and get them, like I said, back into their homes and, you know, keep the families together, give them hope, and pull the city, you know, out of this present situation. So a lot of the bridges are now opening up. The towers, which is one of the housing developments, which lost power. All of the apartments, floors have power. So that's a good thing. Unfortunately, on the North Main, which is the First Ward area, North First, North Second, Third, and I think Fourth, the people are still without power. They still have no electricity, no light, no gas. So, you know, they're having, we've been going through taking food and supplies to them. They're sort of having big cookouts. Mm. Not by choice, but by
necessity.
Situation. Yeah. So, because, you know, the food is spoiled, refrigerators are, you know, not working. They're living basically by candle. And, you know, So right now, like I said to you in the opening, we're getting there, man. We're getting there.
I hear you. Mr. Smallwood, for those of us outside the Patterson area who may not be familiar with you and your background and the work that you do there in the community, just give us a brief synopsis on who is Mr. Smallwood.
Okay, Mr. Smallwood is a father of two. I have a son that's 19 who's in his third year of college, University of Mountain Eastern Shore. As a matter of fact, he's still home because he couldn't get back to school.
Hmm.
And I have a daughter who's 24, who has her own business, and both of them are part of our Patterson residents. I was raised and born in Patterson, went to Patterson schools, went to school in New Jersey, college and grad. Have been working for the city of Patterson for 20 years. I work for the Department of Health and Human Services, school-based program, and the Department of Children and Families out of the state of New Jersey. I'm a program coordinator. I put mental health counseling services in place through that program, and been actively involved in my community pretty much all my life. I run a rites of passage program for young men called BUDS. BUDS means Brothers United Developing Spiritually. And to this day, presently, I have over 516 young men that are actively involved in that program. And my activities are pretty broad, so I'll just say I'm involved in a number of different organizations, collectively working each and every day as often as I can, as time allows, to get involved in situations that affect our city.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, and the first, in a nutshell, that's me, man.
Beautiful, beautiful. So tell me, how are you using your expertise and experience that you've learned from all that organizing to help, you know, present day with the with the situation that's going on the ground?
Well, yeah, and that's a good question because I think for a while a lot of people thought that I was coming in my professional capacity in terms of intervention for, you know, counseling. But the interesting thing is I actually came in once I found out what was going on and found out that these shelters was actually going to be at Eastside High School, which is not too far from where I live. So I actually just came in to give some support. And when I got here, I realized that a lot of the residents that were staying here didn't have towels, didn't have washcloths, you know, didn't have the basic necessities that they knew normally would have if they were home. So we just started making phone calls. And when I say we, so a few of us who came in and just jumped right in, Ella Fisher, Mark Fisher, Bilal Hakim, you know, Nancy Greer, these are people from Patterson who live in Patterson, work in Patterson, different capacities. But we realized that there was a need to connect with the community and, you know, some of these businesses and just start making phone calls. And that's what we started doing. We started calling Kmart, Walmart, local stores, Laundromat, which is across the street from one of the shelters, asking if the people can wash their clothes for free. You know, we started calling the churches. So, you know, you make all the calls and we set up a donation and volunteer room,
mm-hmm.
which has over, I have to say, since we started, we got at least over 1,000 donations of all kinds, you name it, from infant, toddler, gear to gift packs, you know, shaving cream, lotion, coats, hats, scarves, I mean, stuff that we know the people aren't even going to use that were donated, you know, blankets.
While we're on the topic of donating, what is a number our listeners can dial if they were interested in donating in any capacity?
Well, I thank them, but right now we're good. And I say that because, thank God, and hopefully, as of tomorrow, we'll actually be shutting down that room. And I say it once again because right now there's 50 residents still staying here, but a lot of them about to return to their homes and relocate from here because we're using the high school. So we actually have to get out this building. So they're, like I said, they're making strong efforts to get some of them back home or with other family members. And for the ones who can't, who are not still able to go back home yet, they'll be going to another shelter. So we'll be moving from that shelter, from here, just taking the stuff to that shelter. And then we're sort of going to just like turn it back over to the community-based programs and, you know, the church and other places and let them take on the rest of that task. So I thank you for the opportunity to have people call in and donate. But I think we're gonna, you know, I think we're gonna be pretty good. We have a lot of stuff. We really do. We have a lot of stuff coming in, and like I said, we've been taking that stuff to the first ward where residents are, as well as the residents that are here. You know, of course, by them being here for a week more, they come each and every day, and they need different things. So it's a way of them getting the stuff they need. So we ask them to leave, to take with them when they leave here. But I think we're pretty good in terms of donations. We really are.
Okay.
But I think that opportunity.
Fantastic, fantastic. I have a question. Now, what is the demographic of those affected by Irene? I mean, is it, if you give us a racial demographic, economic demographic, if you will, from your perspective?
Yeah, we pretty much do. Most of them are African American. It crosses barriers in terms of age. Say, by the numbers that came in there, we have adult elders who are maybe 70, 75 to 80, as young as newborns.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few Latinos, but it's mostly African Americans. A lot of them are some poor families, you know, modest to low income. Some of them are on fixed income. Just keep in mind, one of these shelters that we have, which is what we call School 24 Shelter, is for adult elders and those with special needs being, you know, diabetic, asthma, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That shelter, we even have a number of people that are in wheelchairs.
Mm.
Keep in mind that a lot of them also have medications that they have to take on a daily, and that's the reason why we have to make sure that we keep on making sure that we're on top of their needs and making sure that, you know, people are here to sit and talk with them and let them know that they care. And I think that's one of the things that I'm really, really proud of this community for doing. You know, like I said, we stepped up to do this just by the necessity of a need. But what I'm finding,
speaking of those stepping up, what was the number like in terms of the support and the help? If you have any specific numbers, but just in general, how was the turnout for the help?
I think it could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a community this size, I think it could have been better. But I'll say this, though. I'll say this. In terms of the actual donation, that was great. You know, but people will call in and they'll say, well, you know, what's going on up there and what's happening? You know, what can we do? What can I donate? But I don't think, to be honest with you, people realize the magnitude of how serious this thing was.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I really don't. And I say that because I think they would have came out to do more of what I just talked about.
Right.
You know, as much as people wanted and needed the supplies and the donations, they really wanted to have some normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come in and play games with the children, come in and participate in activities with the adults. You know, they still sit outside and play cards. You know, first 2 days it was tough, like anything would be when you're going through this, the trauma, the loss, you know, sadness, anger, all those mixed emotions. But you could gradually start to see them become a community. And the more we were here, as they would come into, you know, the room where we had the goods at, you could see the smiles start to come back on their faces. They start talking about things that are going on in their lives. Some of them start going to work. So, you know, so the turnout in terms of actually being hands-on, there was a handful of people.
In
terms of all the donations, it was great.
That's
yesterday,
good.
If I could just say this, yesterday, Councilman Benji Wembley, one of our councilmen, Mayor Jeff Jones, and a couple of our elected officials got together with myself and others, and we did what we call Family Day. And we just had face painting for the kids, a DJ, food, you know, resources, donations outside. And we did all this outside. Hey, how are you? And we just had a great day with the families. They came out, they danced, they played games, they did some activities. They got donations from Tide, they got donations from Lowe's, they got donations from Home Depot. And all this stuff was stuff that they can have as they're exiting so that they can go home and begin to start having normalcy by cleaning their own houses. So they got all these big buckets of stuff. I mean, man, listen, not only did they give it to the residents, but they bought enough where they can give it to the community. You know, your heart has to just drop when you see your community come together with the residents. And all the residents that we spoke with, and we speak to them every night before we leave, you know, they all talk about how great that made them feel, that people came out and they had some normalcy in their life.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What is the main reason why the folks who are still there are still there, meaning the ones caught up in the storm? I'm sure a number of people fled. However, there, you know, those who obviously were there, was it no means to leave? They thought they could weather it. They thought, you know, it wasn't going to affect them. What's the number one reason that you're hearing as to why people, you know, were there and became a victim of Irene?
Well, it's, you know, I'll give you the encapsulated because it's a lot. And it really boils down to not realizing the magnitude of what was going to happen. You remember, the hurricane came through. it lost a lot of its punch from what I was seeing and hearing, you know, on the various television shows and stations in North Carolina. But it still hit us, and the after effect is that Patterson has a lot of flood areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we have the Great Falls. And when the water comes through, no one knew that it was going to be of this magnitude. When I say no one, I'm not talking about officials, elected, you know, workers, professional workers in that capacity. I can't speak for them. I'm talking about the residents. We've never had anything like this before. So for us, a storm is a storm. Oh, okay, every time it rains, River Street's going to flood. You know, the Main's going to flood. But we had water, man, you know, that was like for the average person's home where their stove is, you're talking about water that came up to people's stove.
Mm.
You're talking about bathtubs being overflown where as if you're taking a bath, you ever took a bath and you've got to turn the water off, you come back, you know, it's just like all of, that's what I'm talking about, you know, this is what we're talking about. So as they came through to get people, you know, the National Guard was going in, police was going in, knocking on people's doors, and people opened their doors going, whoa, you know, I mean, so it sort of snuck up on everybody. The other thing that happened was that people, just the power just started going, you know, and for people who wanted to go back, there's no power there for them to do anything. The reason they had to shut down the towers was because when the power went out in the towers, and of course when you say towers, you don't know what specifically I'm talking about, but of course towers mean high-rise buildings. When they had to shut, the reason they had to shut down the high-rise buildings was because one, what we call coat arms, is strictly senior citizens. When the power goes, as we talked about earlier, they can't utilize their medical equipment. So
right.
You have to take them out of there. You see, so there's a number of different things that happened, but most of it was because those areas that got hit the hardest are low areas. They're low flood areas. They always flood. If it rains for a whole day, water's coming up. And even though there's been some work done, some things God controls.
Right. I hear you. We have another individual on the line here, Mr. Jan. Are you there with
us? Hi. How are you?
Doing well. From what I understand, you too were a victim of this hurricane. Please tell us briefly about your experience.
Well, I've lived on the street for 61 years, and we weren't going to leave. There's three houses here together, and when the water came up on the porch and I went inside and saw that I had 12 inches in my kitchen, we stuck it out for another night, and we left on Tuesday morning. The power went out, and I just said, it's time to go. I've dealt with the storms before. In 1984, the water was very high, but it never came in the house. The basement would flood. We'd get 5 or 6 feet in there. You could pump it out.
I got
it never touched your house.
I didn't have the long ones, okay?
Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, we're here. Go ahead.
I can't hear you.
Go right ahead. We're listening.
I'll continue.
Yes, please.
So in 1984, we didn't leave, even though the water was high, because the water didn't come in the house. You would have it in the basement, and you would deal with it, you know. But this time, Mother Nature took over, and when it came in the house, we knew, and the electric went off, it was time to go. Safety comes first. And we came back, and we're dealing with it, slowly but surely.
Right.
And
we won't leave. Where did you and your loved ones make it?
Excuse me?
Where did you all go when you decided to leave your home?
We went to Nutley. We stayed with friends in Nutley.
Okay.
And then we came back here 2 days ago, and we started pumping out, and we're trying to get our electric back on. Hopefully, the city of Patterson will waive the permits, because according to public service, they're saying that we have to pay $150 per household. The owner will have to pay for them to come in, get a permit, and then you have to get an electrician, and he's got to get a permit to come in and check out your electrical boxes. And then if they find out that something is wrong, you have to have it repaired. So other towns are waiving the permit, so we're just hoping that the city of Patterson will do the same.
I hope so, too. I understand that today you had the opportunity to see the president as he came to assess the damage. Tell me about that experience.
Well, we were waiting over here on the north side, and he didn't come. He was in other areas, so we didn't get to see him.
Got it. Mr.
So
Smallwood.
We didn't know what he had to say, or, like I said, Sam, I wish he would have came down here, because he would have thrown a first hand how really bad this end of the city of Patterson is.
Right. Mr. Smallwood, did you have opportunity to see the president?
Oh, no. I just before I called you, I was just meeting with the mayor because he came up here. And, you know, some of the residents, like the lady on the other line, sorry I didn't hear her name, were a little upset that he didn't come through. They felt that this should have been his first stop because of the situation, you know, which in terms of them being here for as long as they have, they felt that this should have been maybe one of their first stops. But the mayor explained that it was because of someone else controlled the flow of where he was going to go, which wound up being the governor. Everybody's under the impression that the mayor determines where he's going to go when he gets here. It's the governor that puts this, you know, whole, I guess, trip around or wherever he was going to go. His schedule was done by the governor's office, not the mayor's office.
Right.
And I'm hearing this, you know, while I'm here. So, no, I didn't get a chance to see him, but I got 1,000 texts, man.
I bet.
When he was at Lowe's, I was like, yeah, Lowe's. The hell
are
you doing at Lowe's?
Georgianne, are they on the north side or anywhere in your area? Are there dams and levees and things of that nature?
Now we have the Passaic River running behind us. Well, not behind us. It would be in front of me because I'm on Holzman, which goes
right
into East Main Street, and then off of East Main Street runs Watson, East Holzman, Bergen Street, and that's where the river is. And when
right
it comes up,
right,
it comes all the way up Watson Street to East Main and crosses over into Holzman. And it comes
right
out of East Holzman Street, which comes into ours.
So there's
right
no dams, no levees, nothing in sight?
No.
No, not in this area, no.
Right.
But when they
yeah
open them up, we do get it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We do get
and
it.
And
all
yeah
the dams that the governor opened up, I think he opened them up too soon behind one another.
She's 100% right, because people were saying the same thing. And I'm sorry for cutting, if I cut her off. She's 100%
that's okay
right.
Fine.
Yeah, because people were saying, we knew this was coming, and I kept hearing conversation. And once again, this is not factual, but it speaks for itself, as she just stated. You knew this was coming, so if you were going to open them up, you should have opened them up earlier.
Again, this is the governor who makes this call?
Well, that I'm
yes
not sure.
Yes, as far as we know, it was the governor who...
Yeah.
Specified
yeah
which dam would be opened up when.
Right. And this is not, like she said, this is not the first time this happened to us. You know, you have to understand the Passaic River runs throughout Patterson. So it runs from, let's say if you're on top of a hill, it runs from the top of the hill. You have this, let's say you're at Niagara Falls. And you're at the bottom of Niagara Falls, and as the water comes from the top of Niagara Falls and flows through Patterson, there's a bridge. Each one, there's about four bridges that come straight across. And like she says, when the water hits and when it goes too high, all the water comes over the bridges, and it's a complete wipeout. So when they decide
wow
to open those correct dams, you already have water that's at a that is at its peak already. So it only takes a quick minute for it to then take off. And on top of that, as much as it rained, that didn't help either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't.
Ms. Georgianne, let me ask you this. Did you have any preparations made, any extra food, any extra water? And going forward, do you anticipate, what preparations do you intend to do to make sure that you, you know, are in a better position?
Unfortunately, the church around the corner on North First Street was very good. They had their little picnic yesterday. We went over there. We got nice sandwiches. As a matter of fact, I met a girl over there that I had grown up with many, many years ago, and we talked. And everybody's been good, and, you know, we're able to still purchase ourselves. You know, we go to the store and get ice, and we have buckets and coolers, and we put water and soda and stuff in it. And there's always someone in the family that is not in the flood area that's cooking and bringing us food, because between pumping out the basement and cleaning out the houses, like I said, there's three houses that are owned by the same owner, and we all work together. We've all been here for many, many years. And fortunately, we have people that will cook and bring it. My daughter today went and bought Subway sandwiches for everybody, picked up ice and soda, and that's how we're getting by, and that's what we'll do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
And
like
her
I said, the churches are good around here. The Salvation Army is giving water if we run out. There's always somebody. The councilman came around. He gave sandwiches
right
the other day.
That's right.
So, you know, we just work
right
as a team. That's
it.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Mr. Smallwood, you wanted to jump in there?
If we get too much and the neighbor
yeah
next door doesn't have something to eat, we give it to her.
That's good.
Yeah. And she can hear me. She can hear me, right?
Yes.
Ma'am,
yes,
can you hear me? Yes, I'm at Eastside High School, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I was just telling the brother at the festival that we did, Family Day, we did them in four sites, and like you said, Grace Chapel is one of those sites, and we did it at School 24. That's where the other shelter is, and we did it at School 27. So I'm glad that you were there, and I'm glad that you were able to also receive some of the meals and some of the food that the council president brought through, because he was actually getting that from this site. But what I wanted to say to you was, if you are in need of anything else, supplies, deodorant, soap, any type of utensils that you need that we can provide for you, we have a lot of stuff still left here at Eastside High School at the shelter. You're more than welcome if you have someone who drives or if you drive to come and get it. As of tomorrow, we're going to shut this site down. But we have a lot of water, a lot of Gatorade, so that you can have the exports you need. So whatever you need, we have clothing. You know, so if you need some stuff, you're more than welcome to come up here and get some stuff.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Very good. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Mr. And I'll be here tonight till about 8 o'clock. So if you don't make it tonight, you feel free to come through tomorrow before 11, and I'll make sure you get whatever you need. What's your name again?
My name is Georgianne.
Georgianne. I'm Mr. Smallwood. Yes. Georgianne, I'm Mr. Smallwood, so feel free.
Okay, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Mr. Patterson, real quickly, let me ask you that same question as her. What preparations did you have, and how would you prepare, you know, just in general, for any natural disaster? And also, after you get done answering that, give me a glimpse as to how the government has responded. You know, we hear and we saw the videos and documentaries about how the government responded there in New Orleans after Katrina. From what I understand, this the level of ineptitude wasn't quite that, and I heard it was quite, you know, different there. If you can, give us a glimpse as to how the government has handled this disaster in your area.
Is that for me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was for me. Well, FEMA has been here throughout. They've been here registering people, explaining the process and how things work. I have to give them credit for that. I do remember Katrina. I remember seeing it, reading about it, studying it. I'd even used it in a lot of my groups and my guys, you know, in terms of letting them see how people participated and what actually happened. And it's funny you say, because a lot of people talk about that. But FEMA has been fantastic. They've been here throughout. Wherever we told them that, or directed them to go, because, you know, they don't know this area as well, but we've been directing them, and we've been getting phone calls from people saying that these people came to them, registered them. We have a mobile unit set up outside, which was provided by the Patterson Board of Education, where they can actually go in. They've been leaving the hotline numbers. So they've been very responsive from where I'm sitting and what I see. I met with a couple of the coordinators. I know they spoke to my director. They've been talking with the mayor. So it seems like there's a team effort going on here. And the Red Cross, I can't say enough about the Red Cross. You know, it's funny, a lot of people don't realize that when the Red Cross comes in, there's maybe 40, 50, and maybe two of them are local. I mean, we have people here from Alabama, Tennessee, Colorado, you know, Memphis, who came in, and they're treating these people like they were their own, like they were their own. And they're here just doing tremendous work with us. I can't say enough. So it seems like things are moving, you know, pretty good. For something that happened as fast as this did, I got to say people have worked wonderfully, especially Diane that just walked past me. Diane has been a blessing. How you doing, Diane?
What organization is she with?
Red Cross.
Red Cross, okay. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. I understand that Patterson is a pretty pretty gritty, pretty blue-collar area. Tell me a little bit, just briefly, about the history of Patterson and the sort of the resiliency that exists in the fabric of the people who call Patterson their home.
Well, remember, Patterson is the home of the gun, the Colt. Like we said, it's the home of the Great Falls. It's the first industrial city in the country.
Lean on Me, the movie. Lean on Me,
look,
as well,
I
right?
I didn't say that. Look, every time we get to the other, hey, look. Everybody that knows Pastor Joe Clark, Lean on Me. Of course, it's the home of, you know, it's the home of Eastside High School, which is where we're at. Of course.
Okay, awesome. That Eastside,
yeah,
huh?
That's where we're at. Yeah, that's where we're at. They were Eastside High School. You know,
okay.
It's the home of, you know, it's the home of Essence Carson, who plays for the Liberty basketball team. Went to Rutgers.
Hurricane Carter as well, right? The character
Carter,
that Denzel. Yes, right.
Boxer, yes. Larry Doby, who was the first African American to play in the Major League, but who played, basketball player. Who played, now, Jackie Robinson was the first African American who played for the Dodgers. He played in the National League, but Larry Doby played in the American League, and he was drafted just around the same time that Jackie Robinson was. Okay. You know, it's the home of you know, Tim Thomas, you know, Rory Sparrow, and the list goes on and on and on. But Patterson, and of course, Patterson is also one of the most culturally diverse ethnic towns, cities in the state of New Jersey, too. You know, we have over 52 different ethnic groups here in this city. And a great city, man. And the resilience, I have to say, you know, Patterson has its problems where there's poverty, there's crime. So we have our problems with gangs and so on and so on. But for a city this size, which is considered, which is actually the second largest city in the state of New Jersey, they say third, I say second. You know, we'll talk about that another time, why. But Patterson's a great city, man. We have some great, we have great history here.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Tell me a little bit about the Rainbow in the Sky, the National Park designation. Again, the Rainbow in the Sky, Patterson Rainbow in the Sky, and the is the National Park designation. Question. Let me get this question.
Okay, yeah, because you threw me a little bit.
Question.
You're talking about the falls becoming a National Historic, you know, being registered as a National Historic Monument. You might be talking about the falls.
Correct. Yes, the falls, correct.
Right, yeah. That's something that was done by the federal government, recognizing the falls as a historic site. So, therefore, there's money to build it up and to work in there. You know, people will come to the city and see it as a place for tourism. So, it's a wonderful, and listen, man, it's a wonderful, wonderful place to tour. You know, it gives you an opportunity to really see Patterson's greatness. You know, and people come from all over. As a matter of fact, a lot of people came just to see the hurricane and the water, how it changed. They see people from everywhere coming in. I work not too far from there, and I see people coming as far as Japan. Just come to the falls to take pictures. Just to take pictures. You know, so that's what that's all about.
Wow.
And of course, that's great for Patterson. It's great for the state and it's great for the country.
That's right. That's right. Miss Georgian, tell me a little bit about Hinchcliffe and what that's all about.
Hinchcliffe Stadium years ago used to be the football stadium. They used to have the car races years ago there. It was used for a lot of different things.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
back in the day when they used to have the car races there on Saturday night, it was a big thing.
Yeah,
and it needs to be restored. It really does because it is a landmark.
Yeah,
I mean,
we
Kennedy
just have money
and Eastside. I mean, it was central at the time. Every Thanksgiving, the game was there.
That's
and
right.
Football games on Saturday. It really
That's
needs
right.
to be restored.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's actually money from the historical site to have that done. Not enough. We're trying to get matching money, but it's coming. But, you know, I don't know if you remember this because I'm assuming just hearing your voice. It seems like you're older than me, but I could be wrong. They used to have the Negro Baseball League games there.
Yes.
Wow.
Lots
of history there. Lots of history. Tell me a little bit about the East Side Mansions in the park as well.
That I'm not too familiar with. I know the mansions were beautiful. You know, it was an historic area over there. I said, I'm from the other side, so, you know, I'm not that much familiar with that over there. But those houses were beautiful, and it was a nice area. And I'm sure it still is.
Right. Mr. Smallwood,
I'm more from the dye mills over here in Bunker Hill. And the Patterson Shade on River Street when they made the land.
Wow. Wow.
And Manhattan Shirt used to be on River Street years ago where the men used to go and buy their shirts.
Wow.
Mr. houses over there on Bunker Hill and the carton makers that used to make the boxes.
That's right.
You know, it was.
Don't forget the market. Everyone used to come to Patterson for their market.
Sounds like there's definitely a lot of history there. Mr. Smallwood, do you have any experience or know anything about the mansions? What can you tell us about the mansions?
I don't have a lot of experience about them. It's funny, I actually live by Eastside Park, where you're talking about. That's where I live at. A lot of history. I do recall stories of how, and she knows what I'm talking about, what we call the Broadway side, where the Kentucky Fried Chicken and all those stores are on the Broadway side. That used to be a time. There was a time when people of color couldn't cross that. You weren't allowed to go to where. It's funny. You weren't allowed to go where I live now. And all of those mansions were owned by philanthropists and rich white people. And some of them have a history of also being slave owners. You know, I don't know if you noticed. New Jersey is one of the last states to abolish slavery. They just recently, a couple of years ago, apologized. So there is some truth to what I'm saying, and it sort of speaks for itself. You know, so there is a lot of history there, where the times have changed, of course, in terms of how far we've advanced, because like I said, a lot of us, most of us up there are African-Americans now. And there's still some European whites who are still up there who will also tell you how they, you know, have the property based from their great-great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandmother and things like that. But most of that, that side of town is African-Americans now, and most of them, as a matter of fact, our council people, four council members living in that area, the mayor, a lot of teachers, a lot of doctors, a lot of prominent people who do good things in Patterson, not just prominent in terms of their positions and titles, but who do good things, live on that side of town.
That's beautiful. Silk City. Tell me, why is it called Silk City?
I'll let the ladies
speak to that. It was the dye houses. They used to make the material.
You said the dye houses?
The dye houses. Am I correct?
Yes, the silk mills. Yeah, the silk mills are in Patterson.
Silk mills.
A lot of the silk mills all started in Patterson as part of, that's why they call it Silk City, because like you said, they used to have the dye houses, the silk, and most people, even in other countries, would order and come here to buy their silk. To make, you know, silk makes clothes, and the fabric, and all that was done in Patterson. Patterson was known for a couple of things, but more so as silk mills, because they had these huge silk mills, where they would you could actually go there and get your silk and buy your clothes and materials. And like I said, the history is that we used to sell to a lot of other countries and a lot of other states, and all this came from Patterson. And then their markets, and you probably remember here the markets. Patterson seems to have some of the best markets in terms of fruits and vegetables. People used to come from all over to buy from the market. And then of course, once there's the falls and the gun, and I hate saying the gun, but the gun, the torpedo. You know, the submarine, I mean, I said torpedo, the submarine was in Patterson, had been in Patterson. So, you know, that's just part of that history, too. As a matter of fact, if you get any literature stationary from Patterson, it still says Silk City.
Really?
Yeah, everything that comes out of Patterson that pertains to stationary literature still says Silk City on it.
That's something. Well, from what I understand, it was founded also by Alexander Hamilton, an abolitionist, who, did some considerable work in stopping enslavement there in the area. Additionally, from what I understand, Alexander Hamilton helped push the silk industry in that area as a way to directly counter the cotton. And so people would move away from, you know, cotton, which was largely produced there in the South, and gave them the alternative to support silk, which helped, you know, strike a blow against the whole industry, the cotton industry, and against enslavement and what have you. Factory labor versus, the labor of enslaved Africans. This is a bit of a history that I was able to come across.
You're right. So all I can say to that is you're right. You're right.
Right. Actually, a little bit earlier, Mr. Smallwood, in terms of prep, were you prepared at all in terms of, you know, extra food on store, extra cash on hand, anything like that? And moving forward, how do you intend to prep for any seen or unforeseen disasters that may come?
Well, I was prepped because I'm part of CERT, you know, which is the acronym for City Emergency Response Team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a training that you go through for emergencies like this. So by being certified as an emergency trainer and response member, I always keep my stuff, you know, by me, you know, extra flashlight, radio with batteries, water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and also by being involved in intervention, I'm also trained through the city to be prepared for these things too. You know, so I try to stay on top of these things, especially, you know, because we know Patterson floods so much and no one, you know, is in a position to say it's not going to happen to you. I mean, recently we just had an earthquake. I don't know if you heard about that.
Right, certainly.
You know, and once again, you can't prepare for an earthquake, but you can't prepare for the magnitude of it, but at least you know it's possible that it could happen. So you just try to make sure that you're prepared. And it would be, to me, you know, it would be mighty stupid of me to be in this field and not do and preach to other people and not be in a position to take care and do the things
right.
I'm supposed to myself. You know?
We can, and I think we should, do an entire show on prep, but we don't have the time right now. But just in general, give us some quantities or days of rations and things folks should have. So you mentioned that you have some extra water. Roughly how many days of water do you have and do you recommend people have? how many flashlights, how much food. You know, just give some quick numbers. You know, I don't know if you have that scientifically stratified, or just your own opinion would be fine on the topic.
Well, they usually say just have one flashlight, and of course, you can always have an extra, have extra batteries. Like I said, have a working radio, which is more like a handheld radio. So at least have at least 2 weeks' supply of water. You know, try to have some distilled water if possible. You know, food supplies, try to make sure that, you know, you have enough food supplies that will last you for 2 weeks, perishable stuff, of course. You know, make sure that you also have, if possible, shutters around your windows that prevent, you know, make sure you have storm windows. I know it's hard for a lot of people because it's not, you know, a lot of times it's not your property, but if it is, make sure that that's done. You know, make sure you have a basement area where you can store all this underground by your house, or a shelter close to that you can go to and know where that shelter is. Make sure you have emergency numbers, you know, for contacts that you can reach out to, at least three or four, you know, family as well as friends. You know, those are basically, you know, I'm probably missing one or two in there because I don't have my list in front of me. But those are the basic things that I know you should do, and that's how much I know you should have.
Got it, got it. Ms. Georgianne, moving forward, what sort of things do you intend to prep? You know, have on stock, if you will.
Well, I always have 3-4 cases of water at the house, and always, you know, canned items and stuff. But the most important thing is that you have your important papers together: your birth certificate, passport, social security, life insurance policy if you have it, bank book,
right,
your checking account. You know, you should have all that in plastic, you know, ready
right
to go. Just, you
right
know, this is my bag, and away I go.
Right.
Any jewelry, you know, maybe a few old-time pictures in case you lose all your other pictures. At least you have a few keepsakes,
right,
kids' pictures. You know, all those items to me are important. And I prepared when it started to get bad. I packed everything up, and I put it in one of those red, white, and blue laundry bags. So when the boat came, I says to the guy, here you go. And he says, what is this? I said, my
right
important papers and my clothes.
Right, right.
So,
speaking
can
of
I
you,
can I just add to that real fast?
Certainly, go ahead.
Yeah, along with those important papers, make sure you have your meds.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us,
right,
those
right
of us who take meds, make sure you have your meds, because a lot of times
right
you don't have the meds close to where they're at. Make sure you have your meds.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, you, like you said, you have your information to the pharmaceutical or your doctor. Make sure you have that.
Correct.
That's also very, very key. I know people always say make sure you have extra clothes, but, you know, sometimes that ain't going to happen.
Right.
The emergency comes so fast, you know, you're trying to grab the stuff
right
that you just mentioned. So please make sure you have your meds close or a number where
that's
someone
important
can reach that person to get them for you.
Right, right. Ms. Georgianne, you mentioned being rescued and handing over that red, white, and blue bag. Our show's producer, Ms. Leslie Giss, actually has a photo of you on that boat.
Yes.
and getting rescued. Mm. How did the rescue
yep
come about?
You do.
Did you call out for help, or they just were going door to door? How did your actual
well,
rescue come about?
They were coming by periodically through the days prior, and they kept saying, you want to go? You want to go? And we kept saying, no, no, we're going to stay, we're going to stay. And then finally, when it got so bad, you know, they came down, and we said, it's time. So they had two other people to pick up prior to us, and they came, and we got in the boat, and away we went. You know, we went down East Main Street and around North Main Street and up. And at first I said to the guy, why are you going the long way? Because everybody else the prior days were coming up and coming right up past our house, Holdsman Street, and turning at the corner. He said, because now the current is going faster and it's going, you know, down, so we have to go down. So we got a little tour. There was a car in front of our house with nowhere to lie. We were sitting out the night before on Monday night, and the gentleman had on East Holdsman Street prior, and he pushed it up here. And I tried to tell him how to start it to, you know, blow it out with the water, and he wouldn't listen. He kept cranking and cranking. I says, you're killing it. So he left. And we're sitting out here, and all of a sudden I see the car move.
Hmm.
And I looked, and I says to my girlfriend that was sitting on the porch with me that lives in the house next door, Marta, I said, that car just moved. She said, no. 5 minutes later, the car went in reverse, down Holdsman Street, onto East Main Street, turned on Bergen Street, and went in a lot. And it's still there, as far as I know.
Oh, wow.
Where they had torn down a house.
Wow,
I mean,
wow.
That was phenomenal to see. You would have, the water was almost over the roof, and it just went down the street, Like somebody was driving it in reverse and kept right on going.
That's an amazing story. That's a great story for us a story for us to close out on. Fantastic show. I wish both of you the best of success, the best of help. I would like to encourage you both to keep doing politically whatever you can to help the situation become better. And just more importantly, from people to people, it sounds like you both are looking out for yourselves and others. I just want to encourage you to both to continue to do that great work, and I'm certain that you'll be blessed for that. So thank you once again for spending some time with us, and again, best of success to both of you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Keep the platform open for us. We appreciate it.
All right. Good night now.
Bye-bye.
Good night.